Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Survivor. I've got it on my mind. The Small Business Advocate. And they're taking me over, folks. It's the pod people have taken me over. I've been in the Small Business Survival Committee's office now for a little more than an hour, and already I've been assimilated.
That's what we do.
Resistance is futile.
It really is. That's why a lot of members of Congress avoid us.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the lilting voice of my dear friend and my big sister here in Washington, D.C., even though she's 15, 20 years younger than me, and she's my big sister here. She looks out for me here in Washington, D.C. Yes, she does you, too. Karen Kerrigan, the founder and the chairman of the Small Business Survival Committee, she does it all around here, and it's just put together a wonderful organization that just continues to amaze me at, Karen, at how much you guys get done with such a small operation. You epitomize what a small business is in the way you run your lobbying organization for small business. And on your 10th anniversary, I just can't tell you how much you inspire me.
Well, thank you. You know, we're very focused, and we target a lot of our efforts, and we look at the end of the week and see what we've accomplished and sort of where we need to go in the next week, the next month, and the next year. So we're always evaluating and reevaluating if what we're doing, you know what I mean, really helps small business.
Right.
So, and if you're small, you can do that. So,
right.
You know, you don't necessarily have to be big, particularly in the world of special interest, to have an impact. I remember one magazine article in doing a profile on us called us pint-sized but powerful.
Yeah.
And I do think that does pretty much say it all. But of course, you can do it without good members. When there's a call to action, they act.
To come testify.
Yeah, or call their member of Congress or see them in their home district or act on our behalf, which is really on their behalf, and good staff. Clearly Ray, has sort
Ray
of...
Ray Keating, who's your chief economist, who was on with us the last hour.
I mean, what he does is just so amazing.
He does it with such aplomb, too, doesn't he?
He really does, yeah. he's driven, in terms of believing in what we do, which really helps. But he's just a really smart guy, but he's also, a great guy.
Well, and the other thing is, about what you guys do, you've got a tough job because, and really I think all of us who advocate for small business have a tough job because small business really hasn't had the PR that we need to have. We need better PR, and that's one of the things, that's one of my roles in life is to give small business owners better PR, and all of us need to focus on this more, but you guys have really raised the level of consciousness of small business on Capitol Hill, in the White House, in at least two different administrations now, and you've raised that consciousness, not only helped us raise it among ourselves, but you've done a wonderful job of letting the people on the Hill and in the White House know that small business owners are critical and that we're not just mom-and-pop backwater, storefronts anymore. We're integrated into the larger companies as strategic vendors. And we create over half of the economy. We employ over half of the employees in America. We create 55% of all innovations in America, and on and on. I mean, with their numbers, the truth is the numbers that the aggregate numbers of small business is just amazing. It's staggering, and when people don't know that, they tend to minimize small business, don't they?
They do, and also they tend to. If you're looking at politics and policy, they tend to propose and advance things or vote for things that, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but in an ignorant way. You know, they don't really know. I mean, they think if they're regulating something or if they're taxing something, the big greedy corporate company or corporate guy or corporate entity, they don't realize the unintended consequences of that.
Right.
And a lot of times it has an impact, or most of the time, on the small business and entrepreneur environmental policy, workplace policy, taxation. You know, the list goes on and on and on mm-hmm. and on. You know, Jim, even if you look at, you know, what's happening on the regulatory front when it comes to homeland security and you know, what they're doing to tighten the borders and tighten what comes in and out of this country, whether it's tourists or goods or what have you, all that has an impact on small businesses,
absolutely.
On transportation companies, on the travel and tourism industry. So, you know, so everything that happens in government, you know, impacts the small business and entrepreneurial sector.
Well, and that's the thing that we've got to help small business owners understand is that we need to recognize that we're not just backwater mom and pops anymore. And so you and I and others like us have this dual role is to raise the consciousness on behalf of small business.
That's true.
And to raise the consciousness among small business.
That's true. But and also as much as you know, we want small businesses to focus on their business and create jobs and innovate and, you know, invest in their business, which, you know, has tremendous economic impact. You know, more and more we need them involved in the political process to sort of, you know, to salvage and protect, you know, the freedom to do business in this country. And you know, it shouldn't be at a point that we have to do that.
Right.
But, you know, small business people are the best spokesperson for our cause.
When you see people, when you bring your bona fides in, do well when they testify, don't they?
They do. Or also just having a one-on-one meeting with members of Congress, you know, whether it's House members or individual Senate members or their staff, when they can sort of bring a, you know, like a financial statement or a sheet or, you know, just their latest health coverage bills or just laying out from a financial perspective what, you know, what it would mean if they were hit with a death tax bill. If they're showing 40 acres, you know, of woodland and you know what I mean? And what that goes for on the market and what percentage they'll have to, and everything that they've done to try to pass this business on to the next generation, but it's just not going to happen because a 60% you know, tax, estate tax bill is going to make them sell the business
right.
and all that. So, you know, those personal stories really help and they really matter. So on issues like the death tax and like health care, we've been able to, you know, get members on both, you know, more bipartisan support for our issues. But, you know, it's a never-ending battle, and we need more small business people involved.
Well, we do, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I encourage folks to find out more about organizations like the Small Business Survival Committee. We're going to continue our visit with our good friend Karen Kerrigan. We're celebrating their 10th year in business as the Small Business Survival Committee. Don't forget, that's sbsc.org. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're still trying to get Steve Sobiak on the line with us, with me and to join me, Karen Kerrigan and me. He's with the Independent Business Association of Wisconsin. Tell us about these organizations that are out there, Karen.
Yeah, I hope Steve does get.
We're going to try to get him back on.
Yeah, IBA, the Independent Business Association of Wisconsin, is an example of a relationship, you know, that we have with a state-based organization where. There's just a lot of energy, synergy, and mutual interest between us. So when IBA is an affiliate member, and a lot of their individual members are members of the Small Business Survival Committee, so they come to Washington for a lobbying trip twice a year, which I think is great. You know, state-based business guys visiting their members of Congress. We do briefings. They go up and they visit every single member of their House delegation and their Senate delegation.
You guys arrange for those meetings and everything?
Yeah, they pretty much set them up, and we'll join them on some, and we'll have like a reception, and we'll brief them on sort of what the key issues are. I go into Milwaukee and work with them on a lot of events. I spoke at their last manufacturing summit or on their big awards day where the governor shows up and members of the Wisconsin legislature. So they're working with us on federal issues, and we're watching those issues here in D.C. and keeping them informed, and then we'll weigh in on and help them out with their state issues if they need it. But they're a very powerful group in Wisconsin.
What about other state groups? How many state groups are there?
Oh, I would say there's 20 or 30.
But not one in every state.
Not one in every state. We'd like to have it that way. A lot of state-based groups are already affiliated, you know, whether they're manufacturing or...
Business councils and things
like
that.
Yeah, or they may be, a very industry-specific group that has a relationship. So besides individual memberships, if groups do want to, you know, develop an affiliate partnership with us, we're very open to that.
Well, if somebody wanted to start an independent business association in their state, you guys could probably help them get that chartered and everything, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, we could provide them with some guidance, although our model pretty much is, you know, keep them independent and listen to the grassroots and, you know.
But you could put them in touch with the people who've already done it. They've already got
absolutely.
The cookie cutter's already been made. We just need to stamp out another cookie.
That's right.
Of course, focused on that state's issues, but in terms of the charter, the structure, the way it's organized, how to find members and that sort of, how to promote small business, you know, there's no sense in reinventing the wheel.
No, there isn't. There's several models, you know, which they can replicate. So, but that's fine. I mean, we deal with a lot of state issues. We're, like I said, we're sort of helping out with our friends in Virginia, which is supposed to be like a low tax and conservative type of state. You know, we're doing stuff in Michigan, California. We're very active. Our former executive director, Chris Wysocki, is in California,
right.
And he's sort of on the ground for us out there, working on some issues. So, you know, but I mean, just there's enough to do at the federal level, but there's also some key things happening in the states that we need to stop before they sort of catch wildfire, particularly in California. You know, when things happen out there, they tend to go.
California is a bellwether state, but not always for good things.
You're right. But so we're so with IBA, they'll be in next week, as a matter of fact, meeting with every single member there.
What will they be talking about when they come here?
Their key issues are going to be, they're very concerned about spending, you know, that it's out of control, and that Congress and the White House need to get that in control. It's a huge issue, you know, for them. They'll be talking about tax cut permanency. They'll be talking about probably regulatory reform. That's sort of back on the priority on our agenda. Mm-hmm. We've met with the White House and key members of Congress on that issue, and we're going to get the ball rolling again, hopefully momentum again rolling on that issue. So they'll be talking about those particular issues. They're very concerned about spending, though, because they know that, you know, once...
Federal spending. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But now, isn't it the nature of most states to say we want more money out of Washington?
Yeah, but not business organizations. They're trying to hold the line at both the state and the federal level.
So this is kind of like a... Would this be like a... Instead of maybe being annoying, it's like a breath of fresh air. Somebody's coming in saying, we don't want the money. What they're saying is we want to keep more of our money.
Yeah, they just think the government should restrain on the spending front, and they're very vocal. Actually, it's fun going to these meetings because these are real business guys and gals. You talk to members of Congress, and you get a lot of spark and very interesting conversations.
When a lot of people, Karen, I think, believe that talking to a member of Congress as an individual, me walking up to my member of Congress or my senator and saying, you know, I'm really concerned about this. I really would like to encourage you to do this or that. I think a lot of people think that that's just words and it doesn't really go anywhere. That's not true, is it?
No, it isn't, because, I mean, you've got to, like anything else, there's got to be repetition of the message. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, they hear it once and it may not sink in, or twice or three times, but if they're hearing it again and again and again, you know, it's sort of like that, you know, the other person on your shoulder, you know what I mean? And so they just don't hear it enough.
And the other thing, it seems to me, that if the people saying it are thoughtful, they've got their message honed, they're focused on, and they're using the kind of language that they use up here in Washington, that I would think even that one person, that one message coming across would mean something to them. And that's where coaching and these organizations that you're talking about, and the Small Business Survival Committee, helping regular folks out there who make payroll every week learn how to communicate with Congress. That's a very important thing. And I know that's something you guys do as well. Stay with us, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Karen Kerrigan, 29 after.
Whoever, And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious here, Mr. Humble, as I'm known around Washington, D.C., right, Karen? Mr. Wallflower, I think, is what they call me.
There you go. No comment.
Yeah, right.
That's a famous...
That'd be the pot calling the kettle black with it. Karen Kerrigan is with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're helping her celebrate the 10th year in business this year in 2004. And as I've said before, when I started doing my show back in 97, one of the first people that I found that I wanted to be on as a guest on my show, she was with me within the first week or so of being on the air, was Karen. She was... You know, and she was then, and she is now, the chairman of the Small Business Survival Committee, and that's sbsc.org, folks. I really encourage you to check that website out, bookmark it, go back and find out how your member of Congress voted on small business issues passed, so you can really become a lot more involved in this whole process, so you can help out organizations like the SBSC. And Karen, tell us how they can become a member of the SBSC.
Well, you go right to the website, and you can click on to join us, and you can do it very simply like that. Or you can go contact us and just send us, where we can send you some information, mm-hmm. and we'll follow up very quickly. We need people to get involved with the organization, both financially and actively. I mean, having an army of small business people on all of our issues, who can articulate the impact on small business and mobilize, on these issues, is critically important to our success.
Now, one of the things that that obviously you can use are, and you haven't asked me to do this, but I know that one of the things you can use are some dues from your members.
Absolutely.
And how does that look? What does that look like?
Well, it depends. We have different levels of membership. We want to include all different types of small businesses at all different financial levels. There's the startup and there's the struggling.
So starting
is at 25, and then we go all the way up to the thousands after
right.
that, depending
mm-hmm.
upon how much you want to get involved with SBSC. So, we place more of a premium on people, on actually having people involved,
right.
and
I
making
understand.
Phone calls. We are really grassroots oriented.
But what you find out, though, folks, is once you see the work that they do and how much of an impact. I mean, I promise you, if you like HSAs, health savings accounts, and you will like them, you don't may not know it yet, but you will like them. If you like not having universal health care, if you like having direct expensing for some capital items up to $100,000, if you like that whole progression, that the progress that has been made there, in all so many other things that have been good for small business. One of the groups you can thank is a Small Business Survival Committee, and this lady sitting in front of me here. And so any contribution you can make is a good investment in the future of and the success of your business, in my opinion, Karen. And I've been saying that for a long time.
Well, we need that. And,
yeah.
and you're right. I mean, an investment in a group like us, SBSC, we strongly encourage it. But there's lots of other groups out there. Really does is future protection,
right.
If you will. Against government encroachment that will cost your business.
It's all about in Washington. It seems to me, and I'm not an insider, but it seems to me that two things: number one, you got to have credibility if you're going to make something happen, and number two, you got to have volume.
Yeah.
You got to be able to crank the volume up, and that's one of the things that you guys do here is you bring credibility to the discussion, to the debate about small business. And you also have the ability to crank the volume up, and you got to be able to. And that volume is, when I say volume, folks, that's a metaphor for bona fides, the people you bring in to testify, and your presence, your ever presence in these issues. Karen, we've got just a little bit before we go to a break. I know that you're testifying next week, is it?
Yeah.
Before what committee?
Capital Markets Subcommittee of the
right.
Financial Services House Committee.
And that's about what?
On stock option expensing, a group.
Why is that important? Why would that be important to small business?
The Financial Accounting Standard Board, which sets standards for accounting, FASB, has recommended mandated expensing of stock options. And the business community, by and large, has been vigorously opposed to this because They believe that fencing of stock options not only will be, from a complexity perspective, will be very difficult to do, but also if you start expensing this, I mean, it's going to start eroding the bottom lines of many small businesses, which and all businesses, which pretty much means that broad-based employee stock option expensing plans will go away. Mm-hmm. Small businesses, biotech, and, you know, high-tech businesses, particularly those, are looking for highly qualified employees
right.
to recruit and retrain. And they offer stock options
exactly.
to do this. So it's a competitive issue
right.
for many of these businesses who are
mm-hmm.
competing against the big guys in those fields.
Right. Right.
In all fields.
And a lot of people don't realize that these are things that are going on that typically don't get on our radar screen while we're trying to make payroll, and the SBSC is following those. Quick break, 20 till. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back in rocking and rolling with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, the founder and the chairman of the Survival Small Business Survival Committee. It's their 10th anniversary, and happy anniversary, Karen.
Thank you. This is like, you know, this is great. Friday morning in Washington, you know, right down
here.
By K Street. We're boogieing, you know.
It doesn't get any better than this, right?
No. I mean, but this represents the energy of small business. It really does.
That's right. That's
mm-hmm.
right. Karen, a lot of things to talk about the rest of the hour because we won't talk about a lot of some of the other issues that are going on. What are some, you know, we've already talked quite a bit about what's happened in the past and some of the accomplishments that you guys have had and how that's impacted and benefited small business. But what about what's going forward, and especially what's on the agenda for the next few weeks, few months that small business owners can get involved in?
Oh, gosh. One, they can get involved with some of our efforts on the Hill. And if they go to the website, sign up for the e-news, they'll see a lot of call for actions on making the tax cuts permanent, on some regulatory and some spending issues, and a whole range of stuff. So from an activist standpoint, please sign up for e-news, and we'll keep you updated, and we need
right.
you to weigh in. From another perspective, there's a lot going on. March 31st, we'll be taking part in a death tax summit, which really is going to be an update on where the death tax is. And a bunch of small business people are going to come in, and they're going to lobby the Hill. So we're going to be working in partnership with the Seattle Times and some other organizations, and really sending an army to Capitol Hill in support of permanent death tax repeal. So a lot of SBSC members will be coming in, but if you're a family-owned business or if you're a business that wants to pass your family down to the next generation, we'd love to have you come in. We're going to have a dinner, and then we're going to hit the Hill, and you're going to be briefed by members of Congress and senators and the White House and everyone that's been engaged on this issue. Coming up immediately on March 10th in Cleveland, Ohio, I am again very involved in helping to organize another Women Entrepreneurship in the 21st Century Summit
right.
in
you
Cleveland,
did this,
Ohio.
You did this, what, a year ago or 2 years?
Well, we did. Well, we've done them all. We did one in Tampa in September. We did one in Philadelphia in May. We did one in March a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. We've done them in Connecticut. So this is a series mm-hmm. of conferences that have been
March
going on.
March 10th in Cleveland?
Cleveland, Ohio. We have got Secretary Chow, Hector Barreto,
the Small Business Administration administrator,
right,
our good friend.
Secretary Chow's from the Department of Labor. They're the sponsors of the event. Plenary sessions on what's happening in Washington, how it impacts your business, and how you can get involved. But then we have workshop sessions on things that actually, things that are going to help your business, from marketing to access to
and
capital.
And this is focusing on women in the marketplace primarily.
Yes.
But if a guy shows up, what are you going to, run him off?
Oh, no. No, not at all. But they'll be surrounded by a couple thousand women.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of
I was just at one of those, by the way. I was down in Florida at the Office Depot's Business Women's Success Conference. And,
right.
And I was the token guy.
I'm sure it really bothered you.
One woman turned around and actually said, "What are you doing here?"
Oh, really?
I said, "Look, I legitimize this. I make this politically correct."
I think Hector loves going to these.
Yeah.
Our SBA administrator. So,
yes.
But if people want to register for that, it is a free event, but there is a charge for box lunch, which is a networking
right.
lunch. They can visit women-21.gov.
Okay.
Women-21.gov.
Right.
Cleveland, Ohio, March 10th at the convention center.
It's free,
center.
But they do need to to tell that they're coming, right?
Absolutely. You need to register.
Because if you don't, you may not have a seat. So
you need to register, then you'll have your badge right. And your packet and all that other type of stuff. So that's in Cleveland, Ohio. March 11th, the next day, We, Inc., Women Entrepreneurs,
right.
Inc., which is another organization that I run for that helps women succeed through advocacy, education, and networking, we have a program. We're partnering with the Women's Bureau, the Department of Labor, on a project called Flex Options for Women. You can find it on our website, we-inc.org. Part of that program is an ongoing series of teleconferences to help women implement flexible policies in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had two teleconferences. One was on trends in flexibility. The second one was on barriers to implementing flexibility. And our third one, which will be March 11th, is going to be on telework and telecommuting and how to implement a successful program.
Very important subject right now.
You know, how to build accountability into the program. So this is, and we, Gil Gordon, who is the, telework expert, will be our guest, as well as women business owners, their peers who have actually done this. So
a lot of stuff being done for women right now. Should guys start worrying a little bit?
They've got their conferences and their networking and their mentors.
We could never have. We could never get away with a guy's conference, a businessman's conference. We could never get away with that. You know that.
Oh, okay. So anyway, we've got. If you go to we-inc.org, and if you click into the Flex Options icon,
right.
It'll bring you right to this page, which, by the way, has a lot of good information on that page. Mm-hmm. But also, you can register for the March 11th teleconference. And, that issue is really important because mm-hmm. there's a demand in the workforce for more flexibility.
Right.
And
it's a management style that small business owners have got to embrace. And I'm teasing you about the women issue because women are emerging as the fastest growing small business part of the demographic.
Oh, they are.
They're creating jobs at a faster rate. They're succeeding
mm-hmm.
at a faster rate than men. They're more likely to repay their loans than us guys are, unfortunately. And so there's a lot of reasons to be focusing on women, and then one day maybe we'll just all be small business owners, right?
Yeah, there you go, a nation of small business. We are a nation of small business.
Yeah. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Karen Kerrigan celebrating the Small Business Survival Committee's 10th anniversary. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with one of my best friends in the world, Karen Kerrigan, just somebody that I admire so much and things that she's accomplished. She's been such a wonderful friend to me and supporter of all the things that we do here at the Small Business Advocate Show and all the other things that we do. And just, whenever I wonder if I'm doing enough, I look at what you do, Karen, and I realize I'm not because you guys do so much. I'm so proud of your 10th anniversary, and of course I know you're going to be celebrating it all year. And we might actually come back later in the year and do this again because there's a lot of work to do. But I'd like for you to, by the way, folks, I just want to remind you about the 10th anniversary. I'm sorry, about the website www.sbsc. I'll get it out in a second. sbsc.org.
You're confusing our organizations again.
Well, exactly. I'm being assimilated here, but. Folks, don't forget, you can go there and find the index, the Small Business Index that Ray Keating, the chief economist, does. It's an outstanding, you can find your state. You can go see how your state ranks in terms of its entrepreneurial soil. Is the soil fertile or not? Are you in the top 10? Are you in the bottom 10? Where are you? What do you rank? And you can work with your state organizations, your state politicians and leaders about to try to get that improved so that the soil can be more fertile for entrepreneurs. And you can find out how your member of Congress voted on issues, and so many things you can do there, and I really encourage you to check that out at sbsc.org. Karen, it's an election year.
Mm.
That's adding another degree of difficulty and requirement of activity, isn't it?
It is, because we'll be doing obviously we'll be doing our ratings again. We'll also do our Entrepreneurs and Elections publications that will set the issues and what are the pro small business issues that people set or candidates running for office say they're for small business, what they should be championing.
Right.
will be very involved with voter education. We'll be attending both of the conventions. We'll be, I mean, there'll be a tremendous demand on us in the media, you know, in terms of analysis. And at the presidential level, you have two folks, the presumptive nominee, Kerry, as well as President Bush, who champion small business.
And Mr. Edwards, who I believe is the presumptive vice president of the Democratic
Party. Yeah, but you've got, I mean, President Bush has embraced small business. Agenda. He does lots of events with small business owners, women business owners, and talks about small business, and his policies are good. And then Senator Kerry, who is the former chairman, now the ranking member of the Senate Small Business Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, you know, he talks a lot about small business, too, and he was a small business owner, you know, a muffin and cookie shop or something like that in the Boston Commons back in the 70s. So, you know, so there will be, you know, there have already folks been coming to us saying, well, gee, I did an interview with BBC last week, interviews with Washington Post, you know, sort of who's right when it comes to small business issues. And also in the broader issue of the economy, because that's going to be a huge debate, as you know, it's going to be the hugest issue.
With jobs, outsourcing and mobilization, the whole thing.
And how does small business play into that? And it plays huge, because we're going to need, you know, the activity of small business. More of the jobs and more of the innovation keep us on the competitive, playing field from a global perspective.
Mm-hmm. If you had to name the one or two major issues for small business that you see yourself working on, obviously taxes, we can get that out of the way because we know that's a big issue that's going to be playing over the next 2 or 3 years. Taxes, obviously, and we've talked about those a little bit. What would be the top 2 or 3 issues and maybe one or two that you'd like to really kind of focus on in the next minute or so? That you're going to be working on the next couple of years?
Regulation is going to be huge because, I mean, the reason why, you know, a lot of people don't like to admit this, but the reason why a lot of the big companies are going overseas, and in fact, mid-sized companies and even small players that I talk to in Wisconsin and in the Midwest, I mean, they're getting smart. You know, capital is mobile, labor is, and they're going overseas.
Right.
And we got to look at what the root cause of that is. And a lot of it is the cost of regulation in this country. And so when you add on, costs, labor regulation, healthcare regulation, environmental, all these regulations, you know, for small businesses, it's about $7,000 per employee.
Exactly. And it's double the number for big businesses. The small business regulatory number per employee is double the big business number per employee, according to Chad Moutre over at the SBA. SBA's Office of Advocacy.
That's true. That's true. And according to Larry Kudlow, who I talk with quite often, who's America's economist, according to Larry, it costs $26,000 to create a new job here in the U.S. versus $3,000 or $4,000 over in China. So when you look at those numbers, I mean, you know, this is going to be the issue. How do we lower these costs on businesses to make it work?
Karen, we're going to have to wrap it up. It's been so much fun. Thank you for all that you've done for small business the last 10 years. It's been a great partnership, you and small business. And you've been a good partner for us, and we appreciate it very much. Karen Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen, Small Business Survival Committee, 10th anniversary. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.